Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide and the new Young Hollywood Actors. And today's podcast is an encore presentation of my interview with Luke Benward. You may have seen Luke as Beau in the recent Netflix hit Dumplin'. Luke has done many film and TV projects. In addition to Dumplin', he's best known for his roles in Life of the Party, How to Eat Fried Worms, Because of Winn-Dixie, Minutemen, Cloud Nine, Girl vs. Monster, Good Luck Charlie, and Ravenswood. Luke, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bonnie. It's good to be here.
So I'm just going to cut right to it. When did you know you wanted to be an actor?
My start kind of was a little different than what typically happens. I started acting when I was five. And it was just kind of, it kind of fell into place. My mom is an actress, is an acting coach as well, as you know. And it was her agent that called me on my first audition when I was five, living in Nashville, Tennessee. And I booked it that day, and I played Mel Gibson's youngest son in a movie called We Were Soldiers.
That's pretty amazing way to start.
Yeah, it's, I didn't see the movie until like way after when I'd grown up and became, you know, age appropriate. It's a rated R film, but it's a really cool movie, and it was like I didn't even realize it till after. But yeah, that's where I met my agent, who was representing Taylor Momsen at the time. This was like right after she was Cindy Lou Who in The Grinch, and then I continued auditioning and living in Tennessee, going to public school.
Do you remember anything about being five and shooting that movie?
There's very few things I remember. I remember we saw, because it was shot at Fort Benning in Georgia, and I remember we it was a big family, like five kids, I believe. So they took us to see all the Rangers in training, like parachuting out of the planes and helicopters. It was really cool. So as a kid, it was really cool. They took us like the boot camp and like showed us all the you know, exercises and obstacle courses. And so that was really cool. And I remember Mel Gibson. I remember Mel being really like amazing to me as a little 5-year old. You know, I didn't know who he was, and you know, I knew who he was, but it didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And he just, like, I just remember him doing magic tricks. He really used to do an illusion where he bent a spoon in front of us and just wrestle in between takes. And I remember always being on his shoulders. And yeah, those are honestly most of the memories I have are kind of all of that. Like the young kids in the family wrestling around and being goofy with him.
I love that because I think it speaks so much to the fact that if you're a 5-year old child actor, you're a 5-year old child, and your memories,
yeah,
you know,
it doesn't,
and,
yeah, right? it doesn't change.
Your experience is going to be the experience of a 5-year old kid, like, you know, oh, I remember being on his shoulders, I remember seeing the paratroopers, like the stuff that would be cool and interesting to a 5-year old is what's
exactly
interesting to a 5-year old actor.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I really don't think I even realized what I was doing at first, mm-hmm, you know, until I realized that it was a movie, and I went and saw a movie, you know what I mean? Just because it's as a kid, you're learning new things all the time. You're always put in new situations, and you adapt to those situations just because you're learning, and that's just naturally what you do as a child. And so I think that starting so young, really, it started that adaptation to the adult world, kind of, at a sooner part of my life than normal.
Oh yeah, really much sooner than most kids start who become professional actors. So when did you know, because that was just this sort of crazy accidental amazing thing, your mom had an agent, they called, they needed a kid your age with your description, when did you know that this was something you really wanted to do, like you had a choice that you might make around it?
Well, growing up, my parents always, they gave me a choice always, and they made sure to verbalize with me and make sure that I was choosing to do this, you know, because I growing up I had to sacrifice things, as anyone will, you know. You have sacrifice. I played football, I wanted to play basketball, I wanted to run track, I wasn't able to do that because, you know, I auditioned during the off season, I had to change schools my junior year, which was a big sacrifice for me. I'd gone to school with the same kids from kindergarten until sophomore year of high school, and I had to change, and that was kind of a big step for me, but I think it was important because, to answer your question, around that time was when I was like, all right, I think I'm ready to take this serious. I had done a pilot for Disney, which I had not, I don't want to say always said, but I had have a strong love for film and movies, and that's just what I had always done growing up. And so I didn't really want to get locked into a pilot unless it was something I was really passionate about. And I ended up doing one for them called Madison High, which was really cool. They were basically trying to do High School Musical as a TV show. And I was fully expecting that to go, fully, you know, accepting the move, the inevitable move to California. And so I was kind of already putting myself in that place of like, all right, this is going to be my life now. Like, I'm going to live there. And that ended up not going. And so we stayed in Tennessee. We'd already unenrolled from my high school, which means I couldn't go there again because we were out of zone. So I went to a new high school and continued auditioning. And then Disney came back to me with another pilot. And I was like, I don't know. And Gary Marsh ended up, we sat down and he pitched it to me and told me about it and convinced me. And so I did that. And that was another one where I was like, all right, let's go. Like, we're going to move. And so, you know, knowing...
You guys have been living in Tennessee all this time.
That whole time, yeah. It was another, like, year, probably year and a half after I finished my whole junior year. And so this pilot comes around, and we learned kind of from our mistakes. We're like, all right, we accept. Let's do it. We're going to make it. And whether it goes or not, we're going to move. We're just going to go to L.A. Luke, is that what you want? I was like, yes. Like, I've already... Like, I'm away from my friends. I'm not playing football. I'm ready to take it serious. Let's just like get out there. So we moved. And yeah, that was, I guess, so right in between junior and senior year was
when I was like 17.
I was 17. Yeah.
And you felt at that point that you probably had so much experience. When I look at your resume, when I look at your IMDb sheets, it's just shocking to me how much work you had done before you were 17 while you were still living in Tennessee. I mean, that's amazing. And at that point, you probably knew what you were talking about when you said, I choose this.
Yeah, totally. Well, I knew that I loved it growing up. But I mean, I loved a lot of things growing up. You know, I loved playing outside. I can't play outside for a living. Maybe unless you're like really good at a sport. I loved football. I loved singing, and it just, my parents were amazing in the fact that they gave me a chance to really explore like every place that I loved, and that they saw that I was, you know, good at or had a natural gifting at. And I tried music. I did. I toured, and it was cool. I really enjoyed it, and I had some amazing experiences, but it wasn't the same. Like, I didn't have that feeling of, you know, the same kind of feeling of when I'm on set. And when I stopped playing football, and I really didn't miss it that much, and, you know, I got away from my friends and that kind of stuff, I guess I just kind of realized that there was a passion that I didn't have for other things that was continuing to push me to do that. There was something telling me that that was what I should be doing.
I love that. I love that. I think that's a wonderful way to express that, because in my experience, just because you're really good at something doesn't mean that that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
A lot of us are really good at more than one thing. But it doesn't mean that, like, it fills our heart or that it makes sense with the rest of our lives and the rest of our, like, I don't know, gifts to go for it and make a living at it. So I think it's really critical that you have a moment like you did and say, yes, this is it. And other things I love and I'm good at, but not as much.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of gives you permission.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Gives you a way to write off everything else to focus, I guess.
I think that's really important. Well, so... What was your school experience like? I know you were back in Tennessee, and you were pretty much attending regular school all the way through, right?
Yeah, I went to public school every year, kindergarten until I graduated high school.
But you were also shooting, like, a major film almost every year on average, right?
Tried to kind of have a project a year growing up. Because, like I said, I loved football. I played football every season from, like, third grade, I think, is when I started. Until after sophomore year is when I stopped. And so, yeah, it was like, it was normal. Cause I started kindergarten and I also started acting. And so like, when I started school and film, it was like, I just started the year. I would tell my teachers, hey, I'm an actor. If I leave during the year, I'm going to keep my grades up. I just need you to send me the work. I'm going to get it done. And then I'll be back in class. And I'm a, like, kind of obnoxious, and like, I'm an artistic brained person. So I'm going to whistle and hum and sing, and you're going to have to call my parents and tell them Luke's disrupting the class. But you know, I'm gonna get good grades. So, that was kind of exactly that was kind of what it was. Pretty much the whole time I was in school.
That's so cute. That's I'd come so in
and
cool. out,
and you know, when I changed schools, that was another thing that was kind of hard because I had gone to school with those kids. They were used to me leaving and coming back, and it wasn't weird. And I had to leave my junior year, and it was just. People weren't mean. You know, I had friends there and, you know, there were a lot of kind people there, but it was just, they weren't used to it. And they saw it as kind of like something to make me different from them, you know, and especially at that age, it's like someone's different from you. They're against you, you know, and then you get out of high school and you're like, that's not really how it works. People are people, but
thank God.
Yeah. High school. Yeah, I know.
It's not high school. Yay.
Right. That is the worst. But yeah, I mean, school as a whole was cool. I'm happy to be out.
Well, and you had set teachers when you were on set who helped you, you know, keep up with the legal requirements of being, you know, an underage kid still in school and keeping up with your stuff. And, you know, people need to understand that young actors, they still have to keep up with their studies, but they're supported in that by having set teachers.
Yeah. And I'll say, I mean, I notice now, like, I can work a 14 hour day and I'm fine. I'm good to go. I'm drinking coffee. I'm chilling. I'm doing my work, and I'm, like, chilling in between takes. And when I think back to, like, how tired I was when I was a kid, it's unreal. Because it's the school part that really makes it so hard.
It puts you over the edge a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, because you're working – if you're 15 and over, I believe it's 11, right?
I think 10? So.
I'd be 11.
Yeah, and I always have to look it up.
Three of those has to be school. Five at the majority, and so it's like in between takes you're just getting rushed and just everyone's screaming and like, we're not gonna make our time, get them in school, the sun's running out. And it was just too much. It was just way too much. So that's another reason, like, I'm just so happy to be done with that, because that was, that made sets just catch fire
so much harder. I remember we met when you were 17 and your family had just moved to Burbank, and you and Dove were cast in Cloud Nine together.
Yeah.
And then we got to know all of each other, you know, our families on set for that project. And I remember seeing you, like, up in the snow in the A-frame doing your homework in between scenes.
It's the worst. Yeah. And that especially too on set, because the snow was just like, especially when we were on the slopes, getting from the schoolroom to set was, like, just as treacherous as, like, trying to snowboard the half pipe. But, yeah, I had some rough – I'm not going to name any names, but I had some rough set teachers, too, that really didn't make it easier on me.
Well, I've noticed, unfortunately, that there can be a really wide range of quality of set teachers. Some of them are just outstanding.
Yeah.
And some of them, you just wish they were doing something else.
Yeah, it's just, especially to make, you know, any real, like, project of film or television, it takes a team. You all have to be team players and, like, get your job done, but also respect the person next to you and that they have a job to do, that they're trying to do just as hard as you are. And it goes for actors, it goes for producers, it goes for set teachers. Just, like, yes, you have a job, keep it in the guidelines, but it's a team effort. So, like, also, like... like, just try to help. Like, try to help each other out.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to help you. It's just...
Yeah.
It's, it works so much easier when it's mutual. Yeah. And it's just like everyone's helping, scratching each other's backs. So there was a few that were difficult and really made it hard on production.
Ugh. I feel you. We were lucky we escaped that whole thing.
Yeah.
Just barely. So how important has training been for you? Have you done much training, or are you just one of those, like, started at 5 and learned by doing?
I mean, my mom taught me everything I know. I've done some classes here and there, and I haven't really enjoyed or saw a need for scene studies. I've been involved, and I've really tried to immerse myself, and I've had some cool, like, really good partners and some really great scenes that I think have helped me. I have a problem, I think, paying for someone's opinion, you know? And so that's kind of where I get off, is like, I know when I'm really invested in the moment. I've been doing it long enough that I know when I'm there in the moment, and for me to be there and, like, to really give it out and, like, know that I hit the mark, and to be told that I didn't, and then to be told by my peers that it was incredible and that I did, really was like, like, it's not constructive criticism if you're trying to just get me to come back and be in your class again. That was what it felt like. You know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
So that's kind of my main thing with classes. But, I mean, my mom taught me everything I know. And it was me and her growing up. We did all my tapes. And she's helped other actors and actresses who've come out of Nashville, like, you know, Miley and...
That's Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, yes. And you know, actually, Miley. Another of her former students is on Stranger Things right now. Natalia Dyer. She plays, I guess, the older sister.
That's so cool.
One of the young kids. But yeah, there's been a few, and so she did that growing up. We had a nice wall in the kitchen that we always used
to shoot what
just audition tapes. Yeah, we have tons.
Yeah, she taught me a few tricks. I was pretty basic with mine.
She, you know, definitely did it enough years to kind of figure out, especially working with kids, but definitely figured out how to convey emotion, how to bring someone to their honest self right in front of it. It's really cool. Like, she has a gift for it, without a doubt.
She does. I mean, your mom, you had the great good fortune of having a mom who was already an actress and an acting coach, and a very fine one. And let's be honest, not every actor is going to be a good acting coach.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Uh-huh. It takes an honesty that is quite rare, really, to, I think, convey your emotions and to bring emotions out of people.
I agree. I do think, I've come to think that acting is so much about being able to access your emotions and then convey them. I think that's just kind of the heart of it.
Totally, yeah. I completely agree. It's really within yourself.
So, speaking of auditions, now you're in LA and you're probably having to do fewer taped auditions, but there's still taped auditions even when you're here.
Yeah.
But taped or in the room, do you have any audition advice for young actors out there?
I think people get, I guess this is horrible advice, but my advice is, like, try not to listen to advice. Because
that's good advice.
I feel like I would always hear advice and from really great actors, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I gotta do that next time in the room. And I'm thinking about the advice. I'm like, you know what I mean? It's like, I get out of the room and I'm like, oh cool, my audition was like me making sure that, like, I smiled the entire time. And, like, that's not what the audition was about. So, I don't know. I feel like I've progressed as a person and as an artist. I've kind of started to realize that, like, what I'm bringing to the table is so much different than what anyone else has or will bring. And so, for me to take a tip from someone who knows me personally and someone who's like, this is what I see, this is what you need to do, is different. But for someone to be like, this is what I think, and for me to just be like, oh, I can apply that, doesn't really work for me in my situation. I've noticed that, like, if I go in and my agent, Mitchell, has, he studied acting.
That's Mitchell Gossett,
Mitchell Gossett,
right?
Yeah, CSD. And he is a phenomenal actor as well. He's partnered with my mom to do some workshops in Nashville. And he's given me tips as well, but it's really, you know, about being true to yourself. And what if the casting director gives you something that you didn't expect, gives you something that was less than what you expected or more than what you expected, that's what they're giving you. Play off it. You know, people get hung up on choices they make beforehand, when really what it comes down to is listen and react honestly.
Be present.
Yeah.
And listen.
Just be, yeah. If I were to scream whatever I said next to you right now, you would be like, okay, maybe we shouldn't scream anymore on the podcast. But if I weren't, then we would continue on. And if the casting director screams something in the audition or says something super boring, that's what they're giving you. That's the moment they're creating.
I like it. See, that's good advice, Luke.
Thanks.
So you've been doing this, how old are you now? 21, 22?
21.
21.
Yeah.
You've been doing this since you were 5. So... you have a fair amount of experience at this point in this industry. What have there been any surprises for you along the way? Anything surprised you?
Oh, I mean, it's always, a surprise was when I turned 18, I guess, 19, and moved out and realized.
Out of your parents' house.
Yeah, exactly. And realized how hard this business actually is, honestly. That was like not, it was more of a wake up call. because I was always under their, you know, shelter, under their protection, and they shielded their boy from from the storm. And I moved out of their house. We did with a couple roommates and started doing it on my own. And it took a moment to get used to, like, the cold water. I kind of, you know, I had my little development moment of, like, kind of being honest, really some, like, hard nights of what am I doing? Like, am I good enough? Like, just the normal things everyone goes through. And yeah, I came through it, and I feel like that, one, brought me in touch with myself much better, but also gave me kind of a confidence in not me as an actor, me as a personality, but me as an artist, me as someone who's going to create something and who has something to bring to the table, which is really what I am as an actor. Not, you know, I'm not here to lead, you know, a march down the street, as horrible as I mean, I guess, but I just, I'm here to just create, and if I'm true to myself, I feel like I'm being true to the art I'm supposed to be putting out there.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's beautiful, and it's very true. I mean, look, everybody, there's that incredibly challenging transition when you leave your parents' house, whether you're like 18, 19, 20, whatever, in there. A lot of kids go off to college. Some kids just move out and start making it on their own. That's got a lot of moments of truth in it, if you're aware. And if you're an artist, you're sort of extra aware.
Right. Definitely. For sure. And you know, acting is just, it's awesome when you're on set, but when you're not, it's just the constant job search. Always. And the odds are ever stacked against you. And when you start to, I didn't really like to go out and meet people, I guess, when I was living at home. But I started to go out more and you know, network, which is, I hate it, but network and, you know, meet people, and you meet a lot of people who are doing the same thing you are, you know, good looking, better looking, the best looking, talented, not talented. There's just a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're all going for it. And there's no rhyme or reason to who's getting what in your mind, you know. Of course there is. And you know, in some kind of grand scheme, someone's making a decision, but it can be frustrating for sure.
Yeah. You have to have a lot of faith, I think.
Yeah. You have to find the constants. There are that. There's some things in people's lives that don't change, you know, that are rock steady. And for me, it's my family and, you know, myself as a creator. And, you know, the confidence comes really from the things that I know are supporting me.
Yeah, that don't change no matter what your particular fortunes happen to be in the industry at the time. Well, that's perfect, because that takes me straight into my question of what do you think is important or not important for success in this industry?
I mean, honestly, I've been trying to just not think about success. I'm working right now with Melissa McCarthy, and going into it, I, you know, didn't really know what to expect. I hadn't met her before, except for one time in, like, our chemistry read. And she's obviously a very successful and famous comedian. I mean, she's incredible. And immediately I got on set and felt so welcomed by her and her husband, who he's directing the film. And they're extremely successful. And she is incredible to work with, so smart. But on camera, she really just creates. She just kind of, whatever comes out, she just commits. And that is the moment. You know, she's in it. And that's, whatever comes out, is that is what the scene is about. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's so cool.
And so it's been really, yeah, it's been really cool to kind of bounce off that and watch that. Obviously, I mean, she's amazing, but
you're in the middle of shooting that right now.
Yeah, totally. And by far, this is the most, I mean, I want to say the most enjoyable set I've ever been on. It's, I mean, everyone is just so like I said, a team, and helping each other out, and there's no stress because everyone's just doing their shit. And it's really been amazing, and really an environment to create. But to say, I mean, I guess I look at all the successful people and I'm like, why are they successful? And they don't care is one thing I've started to realize. They kind of walk to the beat of their own drum. And they're true to themselves.
Yeah.
When you hear art, you see art that you're like, that impacts me because of how much it impacted them. And I think that is true success. When someone can look at the screen and say, whoa, I'm going to have to take a beat and like kind of digest what I just saw because they were feeling those emotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That really, I need to like take a step back. I picture that in my mind is what I think of when I think of success.
That's beautiful. I mean, that's artistic success. And I think to just step back a step and say, you were speaking just before that about, you know, hanging on to the things that don't change no matter what.
Yeah.
Like your family, you know, the things that transcend, you know, fortunes of one kind or another, I think is another really important thing that I know is important to you, because I know family is very important to you.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I mean, just to use Melissa as an example, when I look at her, I see a husband who they have a phenomenal marriage and they love each other and support each other. And I see two beautiful little girls who, you know, are on set and talking to mommy and daddy and making sure, you know. And so I see that infrastructure as well, which is, you know, another kind of evidence of success.
Mm-hmm. That's legit success. How do you stay positive and focused on your dream when, you know, those challenges are there? Like when you do feel genuinely like you're up against it, how do you stay focused on what you want?
Yeah. Instead of going into it thinking about of, you know, things they're looking for, points I need to hit, I went into it knowing, and confident in the fact that I'm a good enough actor that I can live in the moment and I can go with the flow and the words will come because they've been written in a cadence and they've been written in a mood. And so if I'm there and I'm listening, I shouldn't have to worry about the words nearly as much as some people, you know, think, you know, memorization, got to have it like, but no, the words tend to come if at least, you know, the longer you do it, the words tend to come. But going into auditions now, I kind of go in with a brain of just creating and like adventuring. Really, I'm going in just, I'm gonna give it. I've been practicing it, like I have fun doing it on my own because I'm like exploring and like experimenting. And so I'm just gonna come in here and do the same thing. And I've started doing that a lot more recently, and I've gotten good feedback, but it's also just a better vibe I've found in the room. They see that and they want to play and they want to explore because they see that this character isn't set in stone. These are the choices I made. It's, you know,
I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. I like the idea of approaching, you know, not only, you know, this whole career as an adventure, which obviously it is a major adventure, but every audition, like bringing it down to the micro level and saying, this audition is an adventure too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I'm going in front of people I don't know or know mm-hmm. very well, and I'm doing a scene that I haven't really had for that long, and they know that. They know that we don't know each other. They know that I got this scene, you know, if I'm lucky, 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Maybe. Yeah.
And they're looking to see if I have the confidence to go in there and own the character, be in the moment, and be the role.
And
that's what they're waiting for.
And have fun
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
I love that. So you were 17 when you really landed in Los Angeles, Hollywood. You'd done a ton of projects by then, but you were finally moving here when you said, yeah, I want to do this seriously. Let's do it. And your family picked up and moved with you, which is mm-hmm. amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
What was that like when you really like landed here knowing that you were committing to it? Was it a major cultural change for you, or was it like pretty smooth because you'd already been doing so much work?
It was, I mean, definitely it's, the Valley is much different than Franklin, Tennessee.
Right.
You know, there's no secrets there. and I, you know, I finished my senior year at a public school at Burbank High School, which of course is much different than Franklin High School.
But Dove went there too for a while.
Yeah. So you guys know very well. It was fine. I honestly, like, I found that I enjoyed my teachers in Burbank more.
Cool.
Yeah, they were a little more expressive, I guess, a little more like true to themselves, didn't feel as filtered, I guess, suppressed.
Nice.
As the kind of some teaching did.
Maybe that's a West Coast thing.
Yeah, it definitely was probably a little more West Coast. I had teachers that cussed, so that was a difference.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the main difference, was like they started saying, you know, F word. He called people schmucks, I think, was one teacher. He was one of my favorites. He cracked me up. But
we are not in Tennessee anymore.
Yeah, but I was just sitting there, and I was like, this is not Tennessee, but, like, it's not bad. I kind of like it. So, yeah, that was different. Social media used to, but other than that, it was the same. Teachers worked with me, and as long as I kept my grades, I did have to write an appeal to the Burbank, like,
school
board or whatever, yeah, because they weren't going to let me walk on the...
When you graduated, because you did graduate, you walked with
your class. I graduated, I had, A's and B's, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they weren't going to let me, so I had to, I didn't know my mom.
Because you'd missed a bunch of school because you'd been off acting and doing projects.
Yeah, I'd been auditioning, and that was around the time I worked on Ravenswood, I think. So that was like...
I think you shot Cloud 9 that year, and that was already like a big chunk of time.
Yeah.
In the middle of the year.
I was gone almost the whole second semester.
Yeah.
Anyways, I missed like almost half the school year, which is why they weren't going to let me
walk. But kept up your
homework.
I kept
the grades, exactly. I did the exams, and I knocked it out. So it ended up working out, and we were always real lucky because schools did work with us. You know, there was the option to say no, and they always said, yeah, we'll figure out a way. So
yay, not a terrible rough
transition. Totally, yeah. I definitely have to thank school. They gave me the brain I have, and they worked with me. So that I could, you know, do what I loved. So
yeah, for school. So, any challenges that you've encountered in terms of just being an actor, being in this industry?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of rejection, which I've always been rejected because, as an actor, you know, there's always rejection. So I did it real young, and I you would think I'd be used to it, but I feel like as a kid, I didn't really realize it. Like, I didn't realize that they were saying no. It was hard to explain. It was out of sight, out of mind, I guess, for me. And so
you get more conscious as you get older.
Yeah, it's not like they email you back and they're like, this is why he didn't get the role, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you just don't ever hear. So as a kid, I just go outside and play. When you have a lot riding on it,
like,
you know,
paying the
like,
rent.
Exactly, rent and like car payment, you start to take the no's to heart a little more. So that was kind of, a new thing for me.
Well, that's again about the transition to being a young adult working actor, isn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely a weird transition, and I kind of went through a phase of partying for sure, and I kind of like got stuck in that, like, because it really is a cycle. It's kind of a vicious, like, you get stuck in this like routine. And it takes a lot out on your body and your mind. You aren't really as focused, and because you're stuck in that same rut, you start to think that, like, you know, that's really what you should be doing, and that you don't really have. And it's a hard like just struggle. And so that was definitely a big transition for me as a kid, you know, becoming a young adult. And again, it kind of just I brought it back to like the base level. I feel like when I got a note one day that I didn't look healthy.
Ooh.
That was when I was like,
that's a wake up call.
Pause. Yeah, I was like, pause. Let's get this back on track. So I took my time. Yeah, it was rough.
And
I was
man, that must have been quite a day for you.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I definitely, like, it was really like an introspective an experience, but took my time and figured out kind of what am I doing, and like why am I doing this, because I wasn't happy, you know what I mean? I was auditioning and like not liking it and just trying to like get through the auditions. And I had lunch with Mitchell Gossett one day, and he really gave me some great advice, and you know, my parents were obviously there and taught me through it. And it really, what it came down to was I just wasn't creating. I kind of had lost sight of that. I was trying to prove myself, and I was trying to impress people, and, you know, I was trying to go in the room and be the leading man and be the, you know, the guy that, you know, gets the room's attention. And that's what I was focused on. I was focused on winning them over, and I was focused on putting a good performance on. When I really, like, got down to the fact that I am good enough, this is only me I have, and I have been good enough for roles, and I will continue to be good enough as long as I work and just be honest and experience life. And
honor yourself by taking care of yourself.
Exactly.
Which is part of the learning curve for any young adult, again, I think.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of what I had to go through. And it definitely came out the other side, you know, stronger. But it was a roller coaster.
You know, that's useful, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to have those experiences, for sure. It was me just a lot of times, me just alone with myself. And that was some of the, enlightening kind of experiences, is when you can just really, like, dig into, like, why you're upset, why you're sad, why you're mad, why you're alone.
Why things aren't working if they're not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you know, from an acting perspective, that gave me time to do that. You know what I mean? It gave me time to get down to the nitty-gritty, like, of me.
Well, and getting in touch with that bedrock truth for yourself would have to make you a better actor as well, would have to make you a better artist.
Totally, so. Yeah. It only makes it better, yeah. And I found that when I had peace in that area, I was really able to kind of let loose
and, yeah,
you know, experiment. So it was cool.
I love that.
Cool transition.
I love that. I'm so happy.
To look back on.
Yeah, not to be a movie. A lot of the best life lessons are like that. Like, it's awful to be in them.
Yeah.
But it's great to have had them.
Exactly. Yeah. I kind of got to go through the fire a little bit. And it wasn't anything extreme, but it was definitely some fire for a little bit.
Fire can lead to clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't seem like the kind of guy who has a lot of haters, but, you know, I do know, just because of my life experience, that anybody in the public eye inevitably catches some of that. It's like ridiculous what people will write on the Facebook feed or the Twitter or Instagram feed of anybody with any level of exposure at all. How do you deal with that kind of thing? How do you deal with just, you know, random haters? Or not random ones?
people that keep coming back, exactly. It's such a weird thing to me. I have trouble understanding it, really. So I've kind of had a hard time, you know, empathizing with them, I guess. But everyone's going to have an opinion of anything. You know, a man, I hate to, like, oh, this is a horrible example, but a man kills 100 people and there's, like, odds are there's someone in the world who's like, maybe he didn't do it, you know? And it's like, yeah, but there's, like, video and they're like, who knows, maybe he didn't do it. So there's just, I feel like there's always at least a person that's going to disagree and that's going to have an opinion that's different from yours. And it's fine. It's fine for you to express your opinion. It's fine for them to express theirs back to you, of you, if they want to. I don't know. I don't know if I really deal with it as much as I just kind of, like, observe and move on. It's like, that's what they choose to do with their life. And it doesn't really affect me. Like, it doesn't really affect me at all.
That's wonderful. That's the way you want it to be, obviously.
It just doesn't, like, if you look at it, like, you can't control that. You can't control how they feel or how they express how they feel. So.
And it doesn't necessarily mean anything to you.
It doesn't change anything you're doing. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. As long as you're happy and as long as you're proud, you know, screw them.
Yeah, that's what counts. So you've done a ton of stuff on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And you're one of those actors who has successfully transitioned out of the Disney Channel world as well, which is just fantastic.
Transitioning, yeah.
You are transitioning. You are transitioning successfully.
Well, thanks.
And you're being cast in this new movie is obvious, tangible evidence of that. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Anything you want to say about your time on the Disney Channel?
Oh, I mean, I'm forever thankful to Disney. I mean, they gave me work for years, you know, and they gave me a platform where I could safely explore as a child, you know what I mean? And they're, as you can assume, you know, great with families. That's who they cater to, and they cater to children. So they obviously are great with children. I had nothing but phenomenal experiences with Disney. The executives were always so kind to me. They sent me, you know, birthday and Christmas, and they'd reach out and encourage me. I'm forever thankful to Disney. I wouldn't have, you know, had nearly the resume and had nearly the work and the avenues in which to, you know, continue acting if it wasn't for them. So, I love what what they continue to do, put out art for kids, good, wholesome, shows for children and shows that teach children interaction and to have a good moral and teach kids that. I mean, everyone always kind of brings it back that, Disney has a cheesy thing where it's like they get in a fight and then at the end of the episode they sit down and have a heart to heart. And it's cheesy, but I think it's a really great thing to teach kids because communication is so important. And I've noticed a lot of people in my generation have trouble communicating. They get angst or they get shut down or, people don't. Just not good, I guess, just because of phones and mm-hmm. online and that kind of stuff. It's disconnected. So I love that Disney has continued to have, rich stories and morals in all of their shows, mm-hmm. really.
I'm with you. And a lot of those projects are a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Like Cloud9 was
amazing. Was so fun, yeah. It was freezing. our tails off. But yeah, it was definitely a fun experience. They put a bunch of young kids up in the snow in the mountains.
It was like summer camp in the snow.
Oh, for real.
With really long hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
So if you weren't an actor, Luke, what might you be doing with your life right now? Where do you think you might be? Or what do you think you might be doing?
Man, I guess music is, I love, singing and...
When your dad's a professional singer.
My dad's
a
musician, yeah. And obviously, I grew up in Nashville, so that kind of helps a lot of singing. I mean, there's a lot of people I went to high school who are now, singing and trying to get into country music, which is cool. But that could have been, a thing I kind of fell into, I feel like. But one thing I always said was like, I've always just had a real big interest in flying planes.
Oh.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be like a pilot. Like fighter jet pilot is like, in my dreams. But I've been talking to, friends of mine who, their dad actually flies and it's a Ross Lynch.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's learning to fly right now. And he wants me to be his wingman. So I'm thinking about it. We'll see. But we've talked just a few times about flying and I may pull the trigger. We'll see. But I definitely want to do it someday.
It could happen. I mean, the neat thing about that particular dream is you could be an actor and have a pilot's license.
It's true. They say Harrison Ford all the time at airports.
That happens.
If I saw Han Solo at an airport, I don't know if I could fly after that. I might faint.
Well, so do you have any advice for kids who want this life, who look at, the life they think you have and say, I want to do that? What would you tell someone who wants to do what you do?
If you really, really want to do it, go for it. But I honestly think unless it's a weird situation like mine, it just kind of happens to fall into place and you just start it and just start going, like start locally and see if you really actually enjoy acting, because that's what's going to keep you happy. If you enjoy what you're doing and what you're bringing to the plate and to the table, and you are just confident in that, that's where you're going to find your joy and your passion moving forward. If you just want to be in magazines and famous, it's very cliche to say, but it's just going to be sad. It's just a recipe for disaster. If you don't enjoy, being on stage, I'm not going to say auditioning, but being on stage or being in front of a camera.
A lot of actors just hate to audition. There's no getting around it.
It's the worst. But the actual performance when you're on and, you've got that, you have to nail it. If you don't love doing that, then find something else, because there's way too many people trying to do it that don't love it. And they're honestly taking roles from actors who do love it, as much as I hate to say it, but they are. So yeah, figure it out. And because fame is fleeting, you know, everyone knows that. Fame is here, gone the next. It destroys lives. And it's not anything to mess around with. So that's really my advice. Figure out if you love it, and if you love it, go for it. If not, you can find something you love.
Yeah, yeah, because it's at the end of the day, it's about loving the way your days look.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. Touched on a lot of bases.
I tried. So people can find you on social media. Where are some places they can look for you?
My Twitter is at Luke Benward, and then Instagram and Snapchat are both at L.A. Benward.
Cool. Luke, thank you so much for talking
thank
with
you,
us
Bonnie.
Today.
It was a pleasure being on.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, take a second and subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com, sign up at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you're a young actor or just curious about how your favorite actors got their start, buy my new book, Young Hollywood Actors, on Amazon. And if you're the parent of a young actor, you can get the Hollywood Parents Guide on Amazon too. Finally, for one-on-one coaching, invest in a consultation session with me over phone, Skype, or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.